Text 12. And the question was asked, is there a way that those without knowledge can see you? And Krishna speaks the next verse. So Baladeva Vibhushan has mentioned that the jivas are my parts and parcels. Of those who have engaged, who are engaged in this world, and of those who desire liberation, both of their desires for sense objects and for liberation come from me. To explain this, Krishna speaks verses 12 to 15.
Yan aditya gacham tejo jagat bhasyate kilam yachandra mase yachagno tatejo vidimamakam.
The splendor of the sun, which dissipates the darkness of this whole world, comes from me. And the splendor of the moon and the splendor of fire are also from me. So Krishna here confirms that the effulgence in this world comes from him. And before, in text 6, he said that there was no need for the sun, moon, or fire to illuminate the spiritual world or his own planet. But in this world, we do need them. And these are Krishna's vibhutis, or potencies. And they are visible even to materialists, those who have no knowledge of the Lord. They have no ability to see him in their hearts, and they have no ability to even understand their own natures as spirit souls. So these are the same things, three things mentioned before in text 6. And Prabhupada says that the same idea. The unintelligent cannot understand how things are taking place. But one can begin to be established in knowledge by understanding what the Lord explains here. Everyone sees the sun, moon, fire, and electricity. One should simply try to understand that the splendor of the sun, the splendor of the moon, and the splendor of electricity or fire are coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Prabhupada also touched on or and referred to in text 6, he also says again, there are different universes and solar systems, and there are different suns, moons, and planets, but in each universe there's only one sun. He alluded to that in text 6 also in the commentary. But the fact is that in this material world, without the help of the sun, moon, and fire, nobody can live. And so, and Prabhupada mentions this twice in the commentary. So it's clear that, and these things are his vibhutis, they come from him. And here he's saying that that directly, mamakam, that the effulgence of these things come from me. That's why they're not needed in the spiritual world, because they come from Krishna. If Krishna's there, then there's no need for these things. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written, in the morning the sun rises in the east, and it signifies we can see the objects we will enjoy. The objects of all good activities and bad activities are revealed through the sun. Therefore we should understand that the light in the sun is mine, and therefore the sun also has my name, Surya Narayan. All these opulences are coming through my prowess, which means my vibhutis, and they should remind us, and they should remind you of me. So this is a section which is describing the Lord's welfare work for the Bada Jivas who are conditioned. And so even though they are ignorant, still he gives them everything that they need, He provides their sense objects. He provides them warmth from the sun, light, heat from fire. And as we'll hear, he comes also in the form of the moon and gives soma bhutva rasatmaka. He gives juice to the vegetables and taste to all grains and fruits and vegetables. So he'll describe that. This is all going on in a cosmic level. Right? Text 13. Gamma vishyacha bhutani darayam yaham ojasa pushnami chaushadhi sarva somo bhutvarasatmaka. I enter into each planet, and by my energy they stay in orbit. I become the moon, and thereby supply the juice of life to all vegetables. Baladeva Nibhushan has commented that I enter into the earth, which is like a fist full of dust. Thus I hold it together so that I can hold the living entities. Krishna is also the nectarian moon, which nourishes food grains. I am the original taste within them, he says. Krishna creates all different foods for enjoyment and taste, for the enjoyment and taste of the living entities. All gardens and parks are supported by Krishna's Shakti. Now, Prabhupada mentions this and kind of echoes this commentary. He says that all these planets are floating in space, and this is due to the entrance of the supreme energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His energy is sustaining each planet just like a handful of dust. If someone holds a handful of dust, there is no possibility of the dust's falling. But if one throws it in the air, it will fall down. Similarly, these planets which are floating in the air are actually held in the fist of the universal form of the Supreme Lord. His strength and energy keeps them in their place. Were it not for him, all the planets would scatter like dust in air and perish. So he says, Gama Vishya, that I enter into these planets. And Darayamyaham Ojasa, that he holds them by his Shakti, his Ojas, his potency. So the material energy, even the, I believe it is the, in thermodynamics, you're all engineers, so some of you would know, right? There's this principle of entropy, right? Because the material energy left on its own becomes nothing but chaos, right? There's no order. Everything becomes dispersed. So, but what, there has to be some energy holding these things together. Otherwise, the matter on its own just breaks apart. So everything in the universe is like that. And if it wasn't for Krishna, who is Sutre Mani Gana Iva, just like the thread holding the necklace, then everything would just be scattered in a chaotic misarray or disarray throughout the entire universe. And not only is he keeping everything packed together, but he also keeps everything floating. By that same energy, he's holding the planet. Otherwise, we see what could happen, like in the Varaha Lila, you know, the earth planet just blooped and fell into the Garbhadak ocean. And then the Varaha Dev had to come and, you know, pick it up with his nostril. Yeah. So he picked up the earth in such a way. So Prabhupada mentions also that he gives an example. When the spirit soul is there, a living man can float on the water. But when the living spark is out of the body is dead and the body sinks. So it is the Shakti of the Atma which holds the keeps the body floating when you go swimming. And then when you, if somebody were to shoot you in the water, then your body would just sink. Because there's no Atma to keep it floating. Interesting. So then Krishna also says that Soma Bhutva Rasatmaka, that I become the moon and provide the juice for all the vegetables and so forth. And that includes, he says Pushnami, and I am nourishing the vegetables, Oshadi Sarva, all of the herbs, all the vegetables. This also means that he gives potency to the herbs that have medicinal value, like in Ayurveda. Otherwise, none of these things would be of any help. But actually, those who are in the know, they're aware that for any disease that you have, there are some herbs that can counteract it. So that's given by the Lord in his form of Dhanvantari. So now he leaves the cosmic scale, macrocosmic, and he enters into the microcosmic discussion. Aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam deha ashitaha pranapana samayukta pacham yanam chaturvidham. I am the fire of digestion in the bodies of all living entities, and I join with the air of life, outgoing and incoming, to digest the four kinds of foodstuff. So here he says, Aham Vaishvanara Bhutva. That's his plenary portion as the fire of digestion. Actually, it's mentioned, I don't have any reference, but I just remembered that it's mentioned that there's a super soul in the stomach also. And different chakras of the body, other than the heart, also in the Manipuraka Svadhisthana, like this, there's other super souls. And some yogis, they meditate on those other super souls, not the one in the heart. They're considered lesser yogis. This is described in the 11th canto in different commentaries. So there's also a lord in the stomach. So Krishna says directly here, Aham Vaishvanara Praninam Deham Ashata, that of all the living entities in the bodies, I am situated. And Pancham Jnanam Chaturvidam, that I cook or digest the four kinds of food with the help of prana and apana, which kind of stimulate things. So Krishna first said that Soma Bhutva Rasatmaka, that he provides the taste and the various fruits and vegetables and food stuffs in this world. And now he's saying that he digests the food also. Is there anything left for us to do? One might wonder. You know, he's like giving us, and before he said, Shabdake Purusham Nirshu, that I am the ability in man. So he's actually everything. He's the sense objects, he's the food, he's the taste of the food, right? And he's the juice of the food, provides everything. And he also eats the food and digests it. And we're just along for the ride. And it just so happens that, you know, the body is like a machine and it requires some fuel. And it just so happens that he creates all of these different types of fuel. And the gas tank, you know, is here, called the mouth. And it just so happens that in that opening where you put the fuel, there just happens to be a little piece of skin called the tongue. And on the tongue there are all these sensory, you know, the senses, which are different portions for sour, sweet, pungent, salty parts of the tongue, which are just so happen to correspond exactly with all of the various flavors of all of the herbs and fruits and vegetables, so that there's a little pleasure, you know, putting the fuel into the tank. On the way down, you get to taste, get some pleasure. I mean, if the piece of skin or those sensory organs of taste were like under your arm, then you'd have to rub the food here first, right? And then put it in the hole. And it's not... You see how convenient it is to have it in the mouth. But you never thought of that before. Krishna could have created the body in a different way. So, but it's exactly corresponding to the different tastes, all of the herbs, all of the spices, all of the vegetables and fruits can all be experienced by, you know, rubbing it on the tongue or chewing it and then swallowing it. And Chaturvidam is described by Vishnu Chakravarti. The first one is the kind of food that you chew, that you have to break it with your teeth, like a chickpea or some hard nut or something like that. Chickpea. Corn? Coconut. Badam. Chickpea? It's called badam? Chana. Chana dal. Besan is when you grind it down, right? Then two, sugar candy. You lick it and you get the juice, you get the taste. Then three, sugar cane is sucked. You can't just lick that stick, right? You have to suck it out. And four, he says the sugar cane juice is drunk. Anyway, those are the examples he gives to give you the idea of the four kinds. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan comments, all objects for enjoyment are supplied by Krishna, and eating is the topmost enjoyment. Yet it is unsuccessful without digestion. Fire of digestion is also Krishna. Our eating enjoyment is thus dependent on Him. Prabhupada quotes the verses which were referred to by Baladeva Vidyabhushan in his commentary. So Prabhupada quotes the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, I am Agni Vaishvanaro Yoyam Antapuruṣe Yenidam Anam Pachyate. Right? He's cooking the food. Anam Pachyate. So Krishna is the supreme Pachak. Huh? Is that what you said? Cook. Pachaka. Vedanta Sutra is also mentioned. Shabdhadibhyanto pratishtanatcha. The Lord is situated within sound and within the body, within air, and even within the stomach as the digestive forces. Text 15. Yes? About food? About sugar cane? Well, the living entity is conscious of the taste.
Is he incapacitated? He can't do anything.
In one sense. Because if the demigods or the Lord withdraw their shaktis, then he'll be just like a vegetable laying in the bed. Right? He won't be able to do anything. I know one devotee. He made some offenses, pretty serious ones. I won't tell you what happened, but in America. And he was the leader of the community, actually, at that time. And he ended up like a vegetable for maybe 10 years. Couldn't talk, couldn't get out of the bed, couldn't move. You know, his wife just kind of fed him and on this. And then gradually, he kind of came out of that. So when all the shaktis are withdrawn, it's like, yeah, it's really, it's almost like really incapacitated. So we don't really realize that until it happens to us, and then we, you know, if you can't walk, or you can't talk, or you can't see, or what to speak if you can't hear, or if you can't move your jaw to chew on food, something like that. So many things could happen to us, right? So living entities like totally dependent. Well, the yogis, they get their shaktis from doing austerities from the Lord Himself. Durvasa Muni is a partial manifestation of Lord Shiva. Yeah. So we can expect that he can do some miraculous things. But other yogis also, like Gaudama Muni and so forth. Yeah. But those are from tapas. And the Lord gives those to those yogis. So we're completely dependent. In that sense, yeah, we're incapacitated. We're like, the only thing we can really do is desire properly. And then everything else is carried out, like facilitated by the demigods. Yeah. Yeah. They direct your desires. But you still have a choice. Just like when you go to the movie theater, someone ushers you to a seat with a flashlight, but you don't have to sit in that seat. But, right? But most people do. So the modes of nature, they're like this. They're ushering you to do something, but you can say, you know, it's okay, I'm going to sit on this side, thank you. But you have to be very strong-willed to do that. Okay, text 15. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha Vedaishcha sarvairaham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vireva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. So, as Krishna is situated in the stomach, he's also situated within the heart of the living entity. And from him come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. These are still charitable activities for the living entities who wish to enjoy this world. Living entities come into this world and they have so many desires. And from their past life, they were performing certain actions and they developed certain attachments and certain skills. And then they take birth again. And the Lord reminds them of what those attachments and skills were. Therefore, we have examples of child prodigies who can play, you know, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, you know, when they're 7 years old. Or something like this on the piano. Like in Yugoslavia, some years ago, there was a 10-year-old boy that played Mozart, Beethoven, Bach, and Tchaikovsky, and all these. He knew all of them. And he was touring all around the world. 10-year-old boy. You know, so. But most children are still, you know, playing Mary Had a Little Lamb or whatever, you know, on the piano with two fingers. And this kid was playing like... So where did he get that shakti? So those things are given as memory in the previous life. I think Prabhupada said that Ravi Shankar had been playing sitar for 7 lifetimes. I forget, maybe I was wrong, but I remember some vague statement like this. So the Lord is there in the Paramatma, so he perceives the desires and he knows the attachments and the activities of the jiva. And when the jiva takes birth again, then he's reminded. And then when he sees that instrument again, there's this excitement because the super soul says, yeah, that's it. That's what you used to play. Go for it. Like that. And there's a kind of surge in the heart. Oh, yeah. And then the young person goes and he becomes excited to play that thing again. So it may be in different fields, in music, dancing, or maybe, you know, Shastric knowledge, so many different things a person may have done. Now, Prabhupada describes this in a different way. The Supreme Lord is situated as Paramatman in everyone's heart, and it is from him that all activities are initiated. The living entity forgets everything of his past life, but he has to act according to the direction of the Supreme Lord, who is his witness, who is witness to all his work. Therefore, he begins his work according to his past deeds. Required knowledge is supplied to him, and remembrance is given to him, and he forgets also about his past life. So that's one of the facilities that the Paramatma provides, and that is to, other than remembering, also to forget. Because if you could remember all of your past lives, you'd probably have a nervous breakdown. You know, if you can remember all of the all of your wives, you know, and all of the suffering that they caused you, you know, and all the times that you died, and, you know, in some strange ways, and sometimes violent ways, and so many hundreds and thousands of lifetimes. If you can remember all of that, you would be like paralyzed, you know. You would have a nervous breakdown. You wouldn't be able to relax and enjoy this world because you wouldn't have too much knowledge, actually, you know, of all the previous suffering. So this is for those who are attached. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the word apohanam also refers to past lives. So that's confirmed. Prabhupada's also saying his past life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also comments in such a way. So the first half of the verse is philanthropic mood of the Lord for the ignorant and attached living entities who are entangled in the world and have no plan to leave it. But the second half of the verse is for those who want liberation. So Prabhupada says, the Vedas give the right direction to people so that they can properly mold their lives and come back to Godhead. The Vedas offer knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and Krishna, in his incarnation as Vyasadeva, is the compiler of the Vedanta Sutra. So when Krishna says, Vedanta Krit Veda Vid Eva Chaham, he's saying that I am Veda Vyas. Oh, it's his Shaktivesh avatar. So a portion of the Lord comes in and empowers Vyas and becomes Veda Vyas. So in this way the Lord incarnates as Veda Vyasadeva. So yeah, Prabhupada explains that the Supreme Lord is so full that for the deliverance of the conditioned soul, he is the supplier and digester of foodstuffs, the witness of his activity, and the giver of knowledge in the form of the Vedas, as the Supreme Lord Krishna, the teacher of the Gita. He is worshipable by the conditioned soul. Thus, God is all good. God is all merciful. Mishnah Chakravarti Thakur says, just as I am the fire of digestion within the stomach, I am also situated in the heart of all beings as the principle of intelligence. Indeed, from me, in the form of the intelligent principle, comes remembrance, forgetfulness, and perception, born from contact of the senses with the sense objects. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan has written, "You're saying that you're the object of Vedic knowledge, but others have different opinions." And Krishna says, "I am Vedavit, Arjun, the only knower of the Vedas. As Vyasadeva, I have given the meaning to the Vedic literature. No other meaning is proper. I am the giver of liberation, the supreme controller, the knower of the Vedas, and thus one should take shelter of me." So Krishna is helping us, as God is all good in all different circumstances. And here is it's a very important verse, actually, that the Lord's in the heart, and he's providing our very memory and our knowledge and our forgetfulness. You can see, as you're saying, you know, how, you know, really we're not really doing very much. I mean, he's even remembering things for us, right? I mean, have you ever experienced like you had to do something very important and you were rushing out to do it, and then somehow some memory came, you know, that you had to, you know, you forgot this, and like, where did that thought come from? Because you weren't thinking of that. You weren't trying to remember what you had forgotten, right? But suddenly the thought comes into your mind. And sometimes it's at very important, you know, times in your life. Maybe, well, I don't know, when you're going for an examination, or when your guru is there, or something, when there's a lot of pressure, and then this memory comes, like, out of nowhere. And so the super soul is giving memory, and especially for his devotees. I mean, even for the non-devotees, he's giving them memory. Just like the famous story, you know, the history of Archimedes, right? So he was this great Greek mathematician, and the king had asked him to try to determine whether his crown was solid gold or gold-plated or what. But without drilling into the crown and ruining it, obviously. So he had this crown, and he was thinking and trying to figure out, what am I going to do? How can I understand if this is actually solid gold? But I can't drill into it. And he just couldn't come up. For weeks he was thinking and thinking. He couldn't think of anything. And then one, you know, night he was taking a bath, and he got into the bath, and the water level went up, and then he went, ah! he wasn't thinking, he was just relaxing. And he had this idea. So then what he did was he got some container of water, marked where the water was, put the crown in, marked where it went up to, then took the crown out. So now he understood the volume, right? So then he got a piece of solid gold, right? And he did the same thing. And then he weighed the gold, right? Then he got the ratio between the weight and the volume. And then he could just measure the proportion to the crown. And then he could understand the crown is also pure gold. This is called specific gravity, right? This is the... You're all engineers. You should know all these things, right? So he remembered this. He wasn't, while he was just taking a bath, what? Oh, yes. You know, it's like he wasn't trying to figure it out, you know, while he was, you know, with a pen and paper. And he was just relaxing. And he thought, there's many, many ideas that come like this. Beethoven, or Mozart, he wrote most of his symphonies just like in the middle of the night, these melodies would just come dancing into his mind as if from another place. And that's what he said. You know, they have his direct quotes. He says, "I don't know where they come from, as if they're being, you know, dictated to me from another person, from another place. And I just write them down, you know, like mad. And they're such wonderful things. He didn't know where they were coming from. Right? So the Lord in the heart is, he's doing that even for the non-devotees. So what to speak of us? He's actually directing all living entities from time immemorial. And we are so much being maintained and facilitated and ushered and given intelligence. So Prabhupada has written that the super soul is the form direction. He said that intelligence is the form direction of the super soul. So this jnana and remembrance and knowledge is all coming from him. So I would like you to pair up with, right, one-on-one and share some experience with each other, how the Lord has somehow helped you with either knowledge, remembrance, or forgetfulness.